listening to the Best of the Patriots. Oh, yeah! A weekly mix of WEEI's best NFL talk to get you ready for game day.
Quite a day yesterday around here. Roman Anthony is a multi-millionaire. Red Sox get an 8-year deal done with him. And you can talk about that all day long here on Boston Sports Original, WEEI. We will talk about that with the president of the Boston Red Sox, Sam Kennedy, at 9 this morning. Red Sox front office report. The head coach of your football team gets himself smack dab in the middle of a kerfuffle during a joint practice, and we will hear from Drake May on that and other things during They Said It coming up in just about 20 minutes or so. And I believe for the first time this season, Mike Vrabel will join this show in my absence on Monday. Am I correct about that, Curtis?
That is correct.
All right.
I was thinking of Courtney Sunday night.
Let's get it going. It should have another stellar lineup of football guests this season for you with Mike Vrabel and Boomer Esiason on Mondays, the Hall of Famer Ty Law on Ty Tuesdays.
Boomer!
I believe Bill O'Brien will join us every Thursday on this show.
Yep.
And as we discussed earlier, Pop Douglas, I believe, on Fridays.
Yeah, love you, Greg. You know you're my dog.
And, right, Greg, so I know you and Vrabel, I saw it in Nashville, have been friends for years.
Yes.
Not a great start for you, given that he's bloodied on the bottom of a pile and you'll be in Nantucket on Monday.
Yeah, I hope he's not offended. He probably will enjoy the fact that I'm not around.
Yeah.
I possibly have some fun at my expense. Mm-hmm. All right, we have leads left. Courtney, good morning.
Good morning, everybody. There's a hot debate that's taken over social media right now, and I want the show to weigh in on it because I found it interesting. It's what are the four major cities in the United States? People are saying that there are three that are a no-brainer. New York.
I knew New York was going to be in there.
Well, yeah,
okay,
of course.
Yep.
Los Angeles.
All right.
And Chicago. The fourth is what people are debating about. I don't agree with Chicago.
I'm with you.
Am I biased, though? Because I think Boston should be on the list. And I'm not just saying that because I'm a homer. And I'm not talking about population. I think...
Well, how do they define
major? So it's however you... There are no... barriers on why you get to choose. You get to just say what are the four major cities in the United States.
Wiggy, do you have Beverly on your list?
No, I don't have Beverly on the list.
I would put Los Angeles, New York, San Francisco, and Boston.
What?
Why would I put San Francisco and Boston on there? San Francisco for technology advances, and I believe it's one of the major cities. Boston for medical advances, history, and because it's the most beautiful place in the country.
Well, yeah, those are my four. We invented the entire thing.
Correct.
We invented the whole country.
Correct. So I'd be interested.
Like,
some people are saying.
Thank you. How about a little bit of thanks and choose us as one of the four majors?
Right. So I don't know where you guys would fall.
Sean, no.
If you're going to go with the beginning, Greg, we'd have to go with Jamestown, Virginia. All right?
Right.
Let's relax.
I mean, what are we
going?
James?
All right. History flex.
But some people are saying Houston. Some people are saying Miami.
I'm with
some
H-Town.
People are saying Milwaukee.
H-Town all day.
Miami might have to be on the list.
I think it is Miami. I think it's Miami, New York, Chicago, L.A. You basically have one from every region. New York is northeast. Chicago's midwest. L.A. is west. Miami is south.
Chicago is no longer in that realm.
Yeah,
it has gone to hell.
Chicago.
I would also use that same reason for no San Francisco.
Okay, that's fair.
I think absolutely New York, L.A. are one and two. Those are indisputable. But I would definitely have Boston three. And it's got to be somewhere in the southwest region or south, maybe Miami.
What about Houston or Dallas?
I've been to Houston.
H-Town, baby.
Houston.
You What are you? Are you writing?
I'm writing mine down I guess it's like, you know.
Houston's the size of Massachusetts.
I mean, what are we doing?
What do you have, Wiggy?
It's not based on history.
Yeah. What do you?
I'm
have?
Going MIAO. Uh-huh. I'm going H-Town. ATL, shawty.
Oh, you. Yep. You have Atlanta on there?
I got Atlanta on the list. I know they wilding out there, but Atlanta is...
It's not a list of where the best strip joints are. It's where... that's how you're doing it.
It's A.
Amen, brother.
And here's how I look at it. A, where it's going to be cheap for me to live, and I'm going to be...
That is not at all the story here.
No, but Courtney just said the story doesn't say what are the guidelines to it.
No,
you made up your own.
Yeah.
You went history and technology and medical.
Well, yeah.
Yeah, you just made those up.
All right.
Okay.
Right, so I'm going, hey, it's going to be cheap for me to live in H-Town in Atlanta.
Wiggy, you said best cities. Wiggy heard best lappies.
Yeah.
I thought you were going with the
best,
PI.
Best nightlife, where I'm going to have
okay,
fun.
Okay, what was the fourth one?
And then I'm not really an L.A. person, so, you know, I'll throw New York on the list just to keep it East Coast.
Yeah. All right. Well,
it's very interesting. People are really taking it in different ways, but I've seen New York, Los Angeles, Chicago as the top three almost for everybody.
Yeah, nobody really mentions Boston. No. But we are kind of a smaller big city.
Yeah, but
I honestly think now Boston is San Francisco and New York together. Like, we have the huge universities and research going on. There's been a huge boom with the Silicon Valley type companies that have come here, and the greatest hospitals in the world. That's without dispute.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'll give you that, but I'd rather live in Nashville. Isn't Nashville nice, they say?
Yeah.
Nashville's a great place to visit,
Fun. See, I'm basing mine on the entertainment factor. You guys are basing it on
We know you are.
History and healthcare.
That can't be on the list. Their strip clubs close at 2.
I feel like I can go anywhere to get healthcare.
Well, not really.
People come
here. I can jump on a plane and come to Boston if
you
I'm sick.
You hate flying.
Well, you know what? Guess what? If I'm in dire need, I can get my ass to Boston.
Go get something.
All right. Thank you, Courtney. Wiggy, hello.
All right, good morning. So yesterday, the Vrabel fight, what it shows, hopefully, for this team is that you have a head coach that is trying to set the tone on what he expects his team to look like. A tough, physical team that's not going to back down from anybody. And if you're a player on that team, and I heard some of the players talking about it, it really is a respect factor that they see this former player who is going in the jumping in the pile for them, getting willing to get dirty, get in the mix.
I love it.
Right.
How can you not love it?
And it's something that initially gives you that instant kind of like all right, let's ride for this guy. Well, I want to run through a wall for him because of his personality. And I think what not only is he willing to do this, and I mean, I don't get the reports that some people are saying they call it soft, but he's also taking care of them physically, right? Yeah. So he's not having them kill each other on a daily basis, but he's still saying, hey, this is going to be our identity. We can be physical and aggressive, but we don't have to go out there and kill each other every day, where some people maybe call that. We don't have to, you know, they call it practicing soft. I call it taking care of each other and practicing smart.
Yeah. Okay. Wiggy, thank you.
Do you think the Vrabel moment bloodied yesterday reminded you guys the way it did me, Ken Laird getting into the lake Winnipesaukee with the microphone with his shirt off?
Very similar thing.
Yeah.
Like, Ken is willing to get in there and mix it up
in
the waters of Lake Winnipesaukee when needed.
He's a foxhole guy.
With his employees. Yeah, you're right about that. All right, Wiggy, thanks.
You got it.
So, I if you listen to the show, you know that I spent a good amount of time being somewhat obsessed with the drones or the unidentified aircraft that were flying all over this country for an extended period of time. And we never got an answer. Some believe it was some foreign enemy. Some believe it was aliens. Some think it was a secret government program. I don't understand why we can't get an answer. And the president was asked about this yesterday on AirPod One, and the answer that he gives it leaves no clarity for me. So I'm curious what you think. Here's the way that went.
I wanted to ask you about drones. You know, we had the issue in New Jersey before the election where there are all these people thought UFOs or an attack of the killer drones. And I believe you're doing something about What are you doing?
I know who it was, but yes. I can't really tell you. I'd love to tell you actually, but it's not a big deal. But
it's not something frightening.
No, but I just, you know, so obviously it's something that I know about, and it's not a problem at all.
It was legal.
Oh yeah, yeah. It was legal.
Okay.
What?
What? So what? What does that mean? If it's something that was entirely legal, why can't you tell us about it?
Legal, not scary, nothing to worry about. You should be able to say, it was this, it was X.
Honestly, it means, I think, unfortunately, he is embracing the aliens.
All right.
Like, I think he has had some kind of private conversation with
28 times
some sort of a leader from another right. planet, and they
maybe that's why he was on the roof getting closer to the aliens.
Maybe.
They don't know what the f*** they're doing.
I mean, right. are you kidding me? Like, give us an answer. Yeah. Like, this is why people voted for you.
Mm-hmm.
They want to know about JFK.
Right.
They want to know who is on the Epstein list. And they want to know whether or not the drones were alien spacecraft. Like, give us an answer.
You know, Trump can't do it.
I can't give you an answer right now, Greg. Why can't he give us an answer?
Reason why.
I want an answer.
Here's the answer why I can't give you two.
I want an answer.
We are working behind the scenes with the aliens, and we are putting together a very, very lucrative financial deal
for
America.
Maybe that's
the aliens are going to pay us $20 trillion per alien.
28 times.
That comes into America.
Yeah,
so we can't get into the details, but be safe.
I don't get it. Will I get an answer before I pass?
You won't get an answer. Play that music.
All right. Anyway, those are today's leads. Here is Courtney before we get to They Said It with what is trending this hour.
WEEI Afternoons with Hart, Bootsy, and Johnson. Weekdays 2 to 6. Now, here's what's trending on WEEI.
Trending now brought to you by the 99. The Red Sox dropped their last with the Royals. 7-3 was the final at Fenway. Dustin May only went 3 2/3, giving up 3 runs on 6 hits while striking out 4.
What an acquisition.
But the big news yesterday, the Sox locked up Roman Anthony to an 8-year, $130 million contract extension covering the 2026-33 seasons with a club option for 2034. That could top out at $230 million with incentives. We can hear from Roman Anthony during the announcement.
Again, I came up through this org and always wanted to be here and always knew how great this city was and how passionate the city was. And then, you know, when I got to experience it and like Brez mentioned, you know, only being 150 at-bats in, you know, I can tell this is where I want to be, and there's no doubt.
Great to see Leah Anthony there for the press conference yesterday. She must be in town or something.
I feel like she might live here because she's here quite a bit. I mean, she travels a lot from my looking on social media.
Uh-huh.
She seems to really enjoy her life. But it seems like she's here quite a bit. The guys are off tonight before taking on the Padres out west tomorrow night. The Pats had their joint practice with the Commanders yesterday. Mike Vrabel walked away a bit bloodied. The coach jumped into the middle of one of the tussles between the two teams. He came out with a bloody cheek. No players were ejected from practice, and it was quickly resolved. When it comes to players, it seems like Pop Douglas continues to be on the up, being one of Drake May's top targets. Drake went 15 for 19 with one interception and 11 on 11s, and the defense seemed to do a good job against Jaden Daniels in the red zone. Braintree takes on Bedford, New Hampshire tonight at 7 p.m. for a ticket to the Little League World Series. Go Braintree. And visit the 99 restaurant the day after a Red Sox win and get a free kids meal with every adult entree purchase. The 99 restaurant, the official family restaurant of the Boston Red Sox. That's what's trending. They Said It, coming up next.
That was Greg Bedard, Boston Sports Journal. The lightest training camp he's ever covered. He's been around a long time.
Wow.
I know he's covered the Patriots for a long time, covered the Packers for a long time. Guy's been around. But Ted Johnson here on WEEI Afternoons, you've been around. Is this what you've seen, what you've heard? Is this a noticeably light or soft camp that Mike Vrabel, your buddy, has been holding down there in Foxborough?
I don't want to say it's soft, but it's lighter. It's lighter. It definitely is. They're not hitting as much. I mean, three out of the 11 first 11 practices were walkthroughs.
Tweet it out. Ted Johnson says Patriots team soft.
I did not say soft. I said lighter for sure.
Vrabel pushover, says Johnson.
Vrabel lost his fastball.
A soft camp would be, holding their feet to the fire when it comes to knowing their plays, but everything you're told is that they get quizzed on it, that there's pressure in the meetings, that they got to be engaged mentally. You know what? What is my number one concern with this team for this season? Do you know what you always say it. My biggest concern is depth. And I worry about the depth of this football team. Your top two corners are down. Your starting right tackle, is in and out. What I think Mike is trying to do is have a tough, kind of accountable, set the tone, culture setting type of training camp without beating their brains in to prove the point. I think he's trying to have a tough camp without it being this physically draining, demanding thing where, all of a sudden you got all backups, going into the week one because you ran a really hard training camp. So you got to be careful. There's a fine line. I think he's establishing a culture, a tough culture, not a soft one, even though they're not hitting as much. I think he's doing it and it's setting the tone in a different way. And I think the guys were responding.
I also would just answer with, and I say, have to remind myself, it's 2025. Like, we have in our mind, like, first day of pads, goal line, we got a fullback in there, and he's ISOing Ted Johnson. Yeah, 25 years ago, that was a thing. Mm-hmm. That's not football
anymore. They
don't
make him like that anymore.
No, they don't. They don't. And
everyone's in guardian helmets.
I mean, hell,
caps.
The fullback on this team, he blocked for one day and went on IR. Yep. Like, this, it's a different era. Yep. And wow. I think Greg and I and people that have been around a long time just need to get to grips with. Matt Collins actually said, himself talking about Vrabel, and it's like sometimes I think he wants to do certain things and then he remembers it's 2025 and the CBA only allows certain things. And so I actually think this camp has been less soft or tougher than Gerard Mayo's a year ago. Gerard Mayo's camps last year, the first hour of practice was guys running around like they were, I don't even know what they were doing, calisthenics.
Well, most of them were watching like Judon yell at
circles.
Mayo.
It was the weirdest camp I've ever seen. This year, forget the thumping. Forget, like, Jabril Peppers taking somebody's head off. That's gone. That's a days gone past. But, like, there's a lot of football work going on. Without hitting.
We were all there yesterday. It was, wasn't it? I mean, it was an efficiently ran practice, so they got a lot done.
All those plays when our heads were spinning, like, boom, boom.
They did more, Ted, than Washington did, by the way.
Do you know what that's the old Bill Walsh West Coast philosophy? Like, when Pete Carroll came here, I just remember him saying, guys, we're not going to hit as much as you did with Belichick, but we're going to run a lot of plays.
Right.
And it was fast, and he ran to the drills, and he got into the drills. I like that. And I think that's even though that might not be perceived as tough, it is efficient, and it's just as important to practice with that tempo as opposed to football used to be who's tougher. It's a war of wills. It's fighting in a phone booth. And Parcells used to almost think, I think he would look at training camp as, I'm going to find out who's the toughest guys are, and then those are going to be the guys I signed. It's not about who's tougher anymore.
Right.
You don't have training camp to find that out. Football's different in that way. And so, it lends to see that you would have a different style of practice than you did 20 years ago.
So my buddy, Mike Giardi, our buddy here on WEEI Afternoons, he's one of those guys that charts every play with a number. Boom, boom, the result, the players, the format, everything. And the very first team segment yesterday to start practice that was right in front of us, it was the Washington offense versus the Page. He looks up, when it finishes, he looks over, and they had gone back and forth through the three quarterbacks. He goes, it was 34 plays right there. They ran 34 plays, and there were four stations on the field. So you multiply that times four, 136 football plays were run in like a 20-minute span.
If you were a person that just choreographs practices, I thought that was one of the more choreographed practices, and it was two teams that never practiced together coming together, and it was just that was the kind of practice, if I was a coach, I would want to see. A fast, efficient, get in, get out type of practice.
But there was some pop, though. Like, it wasn't pop-free.
Yeah, football. And when you have joint practices, you're going to have some hitting. And I think Greg was making these comments before joint practices and just in general. And I'll be honest, I fell victim to it because I still do. The first day of pads were going on, we were driving down there, and I was thinking to myself, oh, Jabril Peppers is going to pop somebody today. And then you get out there and you remember what modern full padded practices are. And the guy comes up because he had a chance. I forgot who it was. Booty Diggs. Somebody caught one, and he did the run-by where he kind of gave that body language like, in a game, I'm hitting him. But he did the little run-by him in front of him so everybody could see. He even ran a little further to draw attention to himself. And that's what practice is now. But to me, that doesn't mean it's soft. I see a team that looks like they're working their asses off, a team that is every drill, unlike Mayo, and I don't want to keep crapping on Mayo, but the reality is that's what we watched most recently on the practice fields of Foxborough a year ago. Every drill is efficient, bouncing from one to the next, and I think that's just modern football. Like, you don't have to do 1,000 sprints at the end of practice if you practiced hard for an hour and a half, right? Or 2 hours, or however long they're out.
I agree. And
right?
Mayo's practices were, hey, they were out there for 2.5 hours.
Yeah. Because if you do calisthenics for an hour and a half, you then you only really practice
Mike,
football.
Mike doesn't run long practices, but he gets the most out of those shorter practices.
90 minutes seems pretty good. And he also expects, and maybe this goes into what kind of spring and summertime they had, Ted. Remember, it's all about accountability and entitlement is going to be shown the way out the door in the room. Maybe, just maybe, he set everybody to task, show up in shape, know your playbook, and get ready to run an efficient camp. And maybe, just maybe, these guys did.
It looks like it. It looks like, I mean, you know what? The thing I always look for is just, do I see buy-in? Do I see guys buying in? And you know, what does that look like? You just have to be around the sport long enough to kind of know what to look for. And so far, just I listen to guys, how they talk. Buy-in is right now, that's not a question. And that's, to me, this is the biggest, you know, kind of challenge for a coach is, can I get these guys to buy in when I'm selling? They have bought into what Mike's selling. Now, what's he selling? Is it going to be good enough to get them to where they want? We will see. And do they have the horses to get there? But the buy-in to me is this team is as bought in with their head coach at this time of the season as any Patriots team I've seen since I moved back here 6 years ago has been at this time.
And that buy-in is where I wanted to go next, because the other thing that I think goes hand in hand with work and buy-in is guys flashing. And we talked about it yesterday. You know, the defensive line in front of us, there was a guy, and I'm actually drawing a blank on his name right now. He flashed. And, you know, you get a guy, DJ James has actually at cornerback had a couple practices where you're like,
yep.
Well, who number? What number? Is that DJ James again? Or AA, Alex Austin.
Yeah.
He's looked good.
And when you compare that to what Curran just talked about, a guy like Duggar at safety, is there something going on down there in terms of the buy-in where veteran players or even players in general Elijah Ponder was flashing on the defensive line. Guys like that flash, do they get more opportunities?
Yeah,
do they then get a roster spot? Does that impact the buy-in and the culture where you say, I'm a player, I've been out here,
yep.
And just like the media, yep. I saw Elijah Ponder flashing.
Yep.
I don't know who Elijah Ponder is, but does he deserve more reps? Does he get more reps?
He. You know what? If you're a coach that wants guys to follow you, because usually the best coaches are selling, the best players win.
If you don't do it, they'll
always say, if you don't do it in practice, you won't do it in the game.
Right.
So, for example, if Jalen Polk makes the 53-man roster, guys will look at
Brady riot
and be like,
they'll roll their eyes.
No, they won't. They won't say anything. No one will say anything. They'll just say, like, okay. I mean, is this guy really about winning? Is it about really the best player? So what he says one thing but does something different, and that's where your actions got to be consistent with your words. And if you're saying the best guys, the guys that are, you know, showing and flashing and showing up every day, if those guys are the ones that are still on the team when they go to cut down, then the buy-in is going to be there.
And he obviously has a history of that. He brought some of those guys here in a Spillane and a Gibbons and some of those guys who other
half the coaching staff
worked their way. But no, I'm talking about guys that weren't drafted, weren't high picks.
Yeah.
Cause you're right. I could see the conversation. Polk makes the team, and Ted Johnson and some teammate are sitting next to each other.
Like, what?
Polk made the team. Really? And so, one of you would say two words, second round, right?
Yeah.
And
yeah.
That's all you have to say.
Yeah.
And that's why he makes it over an Efton Chisholm or whoever else you think
might have
done
more.
But then
right there, this isn't the best roster that you could. I want my coach to make the best personnel decisions, not just be a hard, great coach, but they also got to make the tough personnel decisions. If a lower draft pick is better than the guy that he's playing behind, he should get the opportunity to play. That's, to me.
Do you have faith in your guy to do that?
I do.
Do you have faith in the organization to do that? Because there's a second voice.
I do not.
Okay.
I do not.
Because Elliott Wolf.
I do not.
Drafted Jalen Polk in the second round.
But let's look at how many Elliott Wolf draft picks or signees are still on this team?
They're fading.
Couple. I mean,
fading fast.
And some of them are guys that people want to bring up as surprise cuts. Kyle Duggar. Mike Onwenu, right? Guys that they spent money. Ramondre Stevenson,
Cole Strange,
guys.
Gone.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, it's
those are the guys that are on the bubble.
They're almost all gone, man. So Elliot, his power is. Does anybody see any? Does anybody feel Elliot Wolf's presence at any of these camps?
No. And I feel like Elliot Wolf must watch these practices and see Vrabel diving on piles and then Vrabel meeting with fans and being like, wow, he owns this town. Like, he does everything right. It's one thing if you're Belichick and you're just the old school hardo, but Vrabel is kissing babies and signing autographs, is diving on a pile to fight with a player, but is also doing sort of the Belichick stoic stuff in the background.
So Vrabel is the guy that owns this big business, but is sweeping the floors,
yep,
cleaning the toilets. He's doing everything. And do you know what the other employees see? They go, man, if the boss is going to do that, then I can do that.
Following
and that's kind of what he's doing.
Yeah. And that's the word he's fixated on, culture. Like, he can do it in other ways and create it with a Robert Spillane because he thinks he's a culture guy. But that might be the biggest culture right there. But you can undercut it. As you're pointing out, with a Polk or something,
yep,
all that work you put in doing these various things, one message can be sent with one move.
Andy, when Final Cut Down Day comes, it's one big message to the team. Everyone that was cut sends a message. Everyone that retained is a message. That's who you keep, who you cut, is sending messages to everybody.
So you guys kept tabs on that, like, you know who should make the roster, who shouldn't, who earned a roster spot,
no
who
doubt.
Slid in
the
back
the
door.
Yep.
Ooh,
yep.
That's amazing.
Now, we wouldn't necessarily go around talking about it.
No, but you thought it, and maybe a couple of you in quiet places off to the side did.
Yep, absolutely.
That's
absolutely.
That's funny. That's interesting because we all do it. We're in the media, but I like, and I guess it makes a lot of sense because you guys are there as much as anybody.
You don't think on draft day, everybody that's on the Patriots is going, who do the Patriots draft? I want to see who they got.
How about a couple years ago, there was that famous video of Kendrick Bourne when they drafted Cole Strange at a Patriots player draft party, reacting to it live on Facebook and walking out of the party. And it got shared, and then all of a sudden he had to pull it down.
Yep.
But there were too many aggregators and fan blogs that had grabbed it as well. Of course they're into it.
But I just think more in training camp, I've been beaten down over the years by the answer of, like, I just worry about myself. I got enough to worry about with myself.
Well, I mean,
just head down.
Bubble guys. I mean, you know, the guys that were, you know, that pretty much we know who are shoo-ins for to make the team, the leaders, the core guys. Those guys are the ones that are thinking the way.
But Robert Spillane, for example, who I think we all think is like the middle linebacker, the leader of that
group. Even
though
I have yet to hear him make one play, I don't want to hold that against him.
Okay, well, let's dig into that a little bit.
But
you're concerned about the linebackers?
No,
the $33 million linebacker?
No.
I think, isn't he a wake up and get 150 tackles guy?
That's what he's been. Yeah.
Yeah. I hope they didn't buy him. You're not thinking they bought him on the downside.
Really, I'm more concerned about our D line. Let's just get to the quarterback and Spillane and in the second line of defense. They're gonna be fine. They're not. That's to me. That's the weakness of the defense, though. Is the off the ball linebacker.
I will tell you, I thought both. I didn't know a ton about Spillane and Gibbons, and I've been kind of told like they're running linebackers. They like to run around a little bit,
yeah.
And both of them, which I take with a grain of salt, I think have struggled at times in coverage. In camp, which I still think is the hardest thing linebackers do, is 7-on-7 and different one-on-ones, certainly. I kind of forget any one-on-ones.
Yeah.
I don't care if Ted Johnson could get beat 1,000 times in a row by LaDainian Tomlinson or Curtis Martin, and I'll just roll my eyes and not care.
And I did.
you're human. It's okay.
I just think that's irrelevant. But they have been relatively quiet, but I think Fitzy's right. There is some degree of a guy like Spillane. Remember, when you spoke with him, he out-hardoed you. Remember, he was
he out-hardoed the hardest hardo.
Yes, absolutely. So I feel like a guy like that needs full contact,
no doubt,
reps.
Yeah, no doubt.
We will see a very different Robert Spillane week one against his former team, no less.
I'm not worried.
You can't just tell him, oh, this is the two live reps you get today. And he needs to get in the feel of the game as a thumper.
Ted, you predicted on this show, not to get into our wildest prediction for the upcoming season. Yours was, I guarantee Travion Henderson will catch at least a touchdown on the wheel route. Andy, you said you predicted a combined, your over-under was 20.5 on touchdowns overall aggregate from Ramondre, Gibson, possibly even Lan Larison. Because
I'm not including him in my calculus.
You just said the running backs, okay. And especially Travion
running
Henderson.
Running and catching.
Yes, total touchdowns.
Running and catching, 20.5. Bold, I like it. Would love to see it happen. Mine is, I bet you Robert Spillane sees at least one pass attempt for a touchdown in the end zone.
Throws a pass?
No, it sees a pass attempt. Like, as in he gets a pass thrown to him. Mike Vrabel style. I think Vrabel loves this guy. I bet you one time he lines up on offense, Vrabel style, and gets a pass thrown
to
him.
That is definitely a...
He has been working the jugs. I know it's his job because he's a middle linebacker and he, like, bats down passes and whatnot. He is on the jugs machine an awful lot.
And he caught the one that he had his opportunity to in the Friday night deflected ball, but whatever. Tip ball drill. He
before
caught,
the end of
this season.
Before the end of this season, I'm putting a stake on that. Vrabel's going to give him at least one shot.
Well, I do know that I think it was Gibbons was talking about in Tennessee. Vrabel used to brag about his touchdowns all the time to the linebackers receivers. He would go in the receiver room and say, "I had more touchdowns than you whole group of guys have ever."
He could have said that to the entire receiver room last year.
We had a routine every Friday. And, you know, we had that linebacking core, 03, 04, was stacked. And we had a lot of fun.
Elite.
Friday, after practice, Pepper Johnson would throw passes at us. And you stayed in, so you got a pass thrown to you. And if you dropped it, then you were out. And who was left? Vrabel probably won, of the 16 weeks, he probably won 14 of them. The guy's got the strongest hands I've ever seen. He can catch the ball and doesn't double clutch it. And, you know, and so my feeling is he's probably passed that down to Spillane a little bit.
I don't want to be disrespectful, but on a regular, what was your usual slotting?
Oh, you know, I wasn't the worst, but I wasn't the best. You know, I was right in the middle.
You could have just asked without the preface of, I don't want to be disrespectful.
I didn't have rock hands, but they weren't as strong as
Vrabel. How about Pfeiffer?
Pfeiffer had nice hands too, yeah.
I feel like Fife is nice at anything he wants to do.
The way he dresses, I used to look in his locker room like, who's his tailor, man? I
gotta absolutely.
So I did. I got his tailor.
All right, up next here on WEEI Afternoons.
Spent way too much money on my suits.
We won't learn about Ted Johnson's tailor, but it's a very exciting segment. I'm more excited about this segment than I've been for a long, long time. Ted Johnson is going to give us his list. Top five most overrated and underrated players from his playing career. I have not seen it. I want to react organically. But he did tell me he thinks there's one or two guys on there that I'm going to at least raise an eyebrow about. So it's Ted Johnson's most overrated and underrated players from his career. That's up next on WEEI Afternoons. But first, Dan Ball has what's trending.
That was Drake May. Mike Vrabel bleeding his own blood yesterday.
Man.
Diving
love
in there.
Love to see it.
I still haven't seen any footage of it.
No, I mean, neither. Zoomed in after the fact, I didn't notice any blood, but some of the people that were on the field said they saw it, so we'll take it.
There's one, like, Patriots fan video that I've seen that's circulating where I can't really see anything. So I haven't seen any real footage of it, but I'll take the beat writer.
Good little tussle, though. Nobody got thrown out. It wasn't like a fight, but there's two different, like, oh, we got to separate you.
Yeah.
Moments. That was good. You know, overall good day for the Patriots.
It was. And they won, regardless of who you read, at least among the Patriots beat writers. I guess I haven't cycled through and read the Washington side. Maybe I should. But, you know, Bedard thinks they won yesterday. Callahan thought it was a slight win. Kide thought it was more than that. Phil Perry called it a win. You thought it was a pretty decisive win.
I thought it was decisive from what I was watching. And I would say, you know, Jaden Daniels, for example, looked fine. I was paying more attention to Drake May, and they were usually repping at the same time. But I thought Jaden Daniels was fine. I thought it was also a win for Terry McLaurin, because you're like, there's not a lot of options here for the Washington offense. It threw to Zach Ertz a lot. Which I guess you could point out the Patriots, like, who's the best that they have at covering teams' tight ends? And they're going to face Brock Bowers week one.
Yeah, good call.
So, like, that could be an area to exploit on the Patriots' defense. But, no, overall, I thought the offense, until the interception late, pretty much dominated the Washington defense. And then the Patriots' defense, I thought, at least held their own, if not got a slight win over the Commanders' offense. So I think you add it all together. I thought it was a great day for the Pats.
So I'm looking at our guy, J.P. Finley.
Yep. Met him.
From the Odyssey Station in D.C.
Mm-hmm.
He tweeted that Jaden Daniels carved up the Patriots. Do you agree with that?
I mean, he had a lot of checkdowns. I didn't think he threw the ball down. Drake May took more chances downfield than Jaden Daniels
did. I would
did.
1,000% agree with that characterization.
So I would say, like, I don't know what the stats say. I'm guessing he had completed a high percentage, but it was all, like, three-yard passes.
In the hurry-up, he couldn't get in the end zone against Alex Austin.
Correct.
You know, so, like, I hold that pick against Drake May. I'll hold Jaden Daniels and turn it over, but he also didn't score.
Yeah, carved up. Seems too strong.
But he says late in joint practices, one thing became clear that it was missing: Terry McLaurin. So similar takeaway
to you.
Yeah,
that was my biggest takeaway. Was like you're looking at the roster, you're like big old Deebo Samuel, who I did want, but he is I think the leading candidate for Haas of the Week. Seeing Deebo in person like that, yeah, he's
I don't know. Did you see that picture of Anthony yeah. yesterday?
That could be Anthony Anthony.
Could
as well.
Be Anthony Anthony. Could he might be Anthony. In the mix.
But they don't have many other guys. I mean, he was throwing to Zach Ertz over and over and over again. You're like, all right. Like, you got any receivers you want to throw to?
I'm looking at J.P. Finley's timeline now, Keith.
These guys from Boston are losers?
No. The morning.
Sick brag, bro.
Looks like their morning show in D.C. had a good idea. They're cracking smelling salts.
Damn it.
I put that
in grab bag for today because there's an update to the smelling salts story.
I've seen the update. We can get to it. We should have been cracking smelling salts today.
Oh, we would have been just shot out of a cannon.
They don't know what the f*** they're doing. I would have
score one for DC Morning Radio. Damn it, that was literally right under our noses. We should have.
I wouldn't have trusted myself though to not like jump over the barrier and like fly down two levels.
Now
I would have been too crazy.
Now I've been getting yelled at all morning by Wiggy about it, but he's like very adamant about my 40. I never said I could run a fast 40. Very fixated on me running a 40.
Yesterday on a Would You Rather Wednesday,
I'll land this plane in a minute. But yeah, explain.
Yesterday we asked a very important question: would you rather be the fastest person alive or the strongest person alive? Yeah. In your answer, you said, well, I'm already pretty fast.
Pretty fast.
At that moment, Wiggy started texting me, how fast is he? How fast is he really? Did he run? What's his 40 time? Did he run under or did he run over a 5? If so, he's slow. And I'm like, I don't know if he has a 40 time. I'm taking him at his word for it. He says he's fast.
I never.
Then we see him in the hallway and he's like, sprint down here.
He's like, tell me what your 40 time is. I'm like, I never said I could
run a fast
40.
He's like, how fast are you?
Wiggy
was, I've never seen him so.
Really, what I was saying is just I'm a weakling. Really, what I was trying to say is I'm just a weakling and I'm not strong. I would rather be strong than fast.
Yeah.
That was really the only thing I was trying to say.
But you were kind of saying you were fast.
Well, yeah. I think if you lined up everybody at the radio station, I would do pretty well in a race.
In a sprint?
I think if you line... Yeah,
you'll receive $10 in bonus bets for every win your team has in the tournament.
I might be huffing and puffing.
You can download the ESPN Bet Sportsbook app today.
That was you jogging down the
hallway. Odds and lines are subject to change.
But I did it fast. I might be huffing and puffing afterwards, but I did it fast down the hallway.
You're like, oh, I ran like 3 miles. And it's like, well, that's a different skill set altogether than
sprinting
like a...
down the hall trying to get these reads. I'm dying over here.
This is the guy who's fat?
Yeah, I think I would. Okay. I think if you I've seen Wiggy run 40 on like Lansdowne Street. Didn't he like topple over? Who did he race? I've seen that video.
Oh, he beat.
Did he?
Who the hell did he race?
Do I have it backwards?
I thought
he beat somebody.
Reamer.
Let's settle down.
Did he actually beat him?
It was like tail of the tape, I believe. I think it was real close.
So like anyway.
So you think if you lined up everybody on like a football field in the end zone, everybody that works here at the station, and they sprinted to say. Midfield. I think everybody would die if they had to go all the way across the field.
Sure.
Do you think you would win that?
I don't know if I'd win, but I would.
Sprinting down the hall trying to get these reads. I'm dying over
I think
here.
I would do pretty well, yeah.
Okay.
You can
go 80 feet.
I did go 80 feet. I was just huffing and puffing afterwards. But I think I would.
It's the turn that threw him.
I would have run those 80 feet faster than somebody else.
I've never seen Wiggy more obsessed with
honestly,
something.
The most mad Wiggy's been at me ever was about my Halloween costume. This was a close second.
This was two.
This was right there. Yeah, like definitely. He was like, you can't run a 40. He also claims if we all tried to run a 40, we'd all blow out our hamstrings.
I agree with that.
I don't.
I don't think I've gotten it to full speed in years.
I would not pull a
muscle. And I did pull a hamstring playing slow pitch softball, so I don't think I would successfully complete
sick
the 40-yard dash.
Bro.
I wouldn't pull
it was
a
mess.
I wouldn't pull a muscle. Right. He's like, we'd all just pop our hamstrings.
It'd be a funny spectacle, though, to just have people watch the wide view, and then just every 10 yards, somebody goes down.
Anyway, my roundabout point is, I don't have a 40 time. I didn't play football.
No,
so I've never taken smelling salts as my roundabout.
Got it.
Have you tried a nice smelling salt? You got a nice whiff?
I don't think I had smelling salts. I do remember it was I want to say in the early days of Red Bull. We didn't know exactly what Red Bull was. We just heard that it like got y'all fired up. I think it gave you wings, is what they said. And so like junior or senior year of high school, like two or three of us chugged Red Bull before the game.
Nice.
Not the effect.
Throw it up.
No, it felt like I should have. It was like immediately run down on kickoff after pounding a Red Bull can. And I was like, that did not have the desired effects. I feel more sick than I do excited. So okay. Anyway, I usually did not go with the smelling salts.
All right. Well, the word out of D.C. is that
that's a good idea.
Jaden Daniels had a good day, and the morning show was taking smelling salts, and I wish we thought of that, Keith.
I think Daniels is fine. I think Drake May had a great day. He did throw a pick, but I think other than that, he had a great day.
Like, to me, if I was doing a radio show in D.C., that would be the way I characterize it, too. I'd be going, Daniels just got outplayed by the guy one pick after him. Now, Daniels had a way better rookie year. I don't know how freaked out I'd be, but that was a story. May outplayed Daniels yesterday.
But Daniels for sure. But you didn't really need to see a lot out of Daniels. Fair. He has the same offensive coordinator. He's hoping to get Terry McLaurin back. He's, after 1 year, kind of like a made man in the league. Like, he's looked at as a top six quarterback in the NFL. Drake May, jury's out, new offense, bunch of new players on like, you needed to see more from him. Then Jaden Daniels didn't have a bad day. I would just say Drake May was better.
Yeah, that's agreed. All. And so I wonder, Keith, if they are able to win the day decisively in your mind against the Commanders at joint practices, a team that won double-digit games a year ago. Would they win last year?
Oh, probably.
They finished in the NFC title game a season ago. Where did they finish for a win total last year? Probably. I thought I saw 12 the other day. I wonder if that counted postseason wins.
They don't know. They were 12-5 regular season.
They were
12-5.
Okay. Yeah. So they won 12 games last year. And you were able to have a better day than them on joint practices. Is it possible we're low on me sitting here at 9 wins and you at 10?
Possible. I mean, it's just one day. And so, but if they were horrible, we would have called them out for that. And we would have been maybe a little bit more concerned.
They were horrible a year ago against the Eagles. They did get that called out, and it was exceptionally predictive.
No, but I think 10 is, I mean, I'm at 10, you're at 9. I think both of those are fair. The over-under in Vegas is 8.5. And that's even with what everybody assumes is kind of a lack of talent as compared to other teams around the league. But they have a very easy schedule. And maybe some of those real positions of weakness are a little bit better. Like, I kind of like the defense, you know, health. If they're all healthy, you look out there, you're like, kind of like these guys. And they didn't even have Gonzalez or Davis. So if you have Gonzalez and Davis, and now you have other guys that have stepped up, like Alex Austin, and you have obviously Marcus Jones as like other corners to fill in. You have three, maybe even four safeties that you feel comfortable about. The front, let's call it four, I like a lot. The linebackers, Spillane's an upgrade. It's other guys that you've had before, so we'll see how they do, guys like Tavai and Ellis. My takeaway, though, was the receiver group, a group that we have just ripped apart for 3-4 straight years.
So
seemed to actually be making plays, getting open, and I don't know, they seem decent.
Well, I agree with that, and that is certainly how I felt yesterday. I was reading some of the recaps once we got home, and are we ignoring the drops a little too much yesterday? Because I agree. I thought the receivers had a really good day. Pop Douglas had a great day. Drop.
Yep.
Travion Henderson, drop. I know he's not a receiver.
Yeah, I put him on the side.
But it's someone in the passing game. Mac Hollins, a couple of drops. I'm missing another one in there as well. But
I don't think Booty did, right? Booty caught everything.
No, maybe I was thinking of the Henderson drop.
Yeah.
But there were four drops yesterday for Drake May. And I came out of that feeling pretty good. Booty had a good day. Hollins made plays. Douglas was everywhere. Diggs wasn't even out there for some of it. But when he got out there, certainly in 7-on-7s, he had a couple of catches. I'm not sure he did, actually, in 11-on-11s. But are we ignoring the drops a little too much?
Maybe a little bit.
And are we just not used to what an average or even improved receiver group looks like? Because it's been so bad
the last couple of years. Low bar to step over. And by saying that they played well, I'm not putting them in, like, you know, the top 10, 15 receiver groups in the NFL. We just thought there was a chance they were like 31-30. You know, like that low. Maybe it's better. I think there's already a chance it was going to be better just with Steph Diggs being out there and being healthy, which he is. And now those other guys, maybe they could step up and be a little bit better. I looked at it where even like the best receivers in the league are going to drop passes, but can you get open at all? And those guys were getting open. Like, Drake May had windows to throw in. Some of those Pop Douglas plays,
he was wide open.
So that part of it is really good. I feel like one of the things we've talked about, and this was obviously a N'Keal Harry issue, but even other guys on the team, like Jalen Polk ever get open? Like, those guys couldn't get open. And then you're asking your quarterback to, like, thread a needle, and then they weren't getting it done. So I thought yesterday, and maybe Washington will look at it and be like, oh, it was a bad day out of us on defense. Maybe it was. But I'll still view it as a overall very positive day for the receivers, acknowledging that, yeah, there were a couple of drops.
Let's just look at it for a moment in the division. The Dolphins, I don't need to go through their depth chart. They have the best receiver group in the division. Is that fair to say?
Wait, who does?
The Dolphins.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Okay,
yeah,
so
yeah,
I think that one's pretty easy. After that, is it possible the Patriots have the second best in the division?
So it's definitely better than the Bills. We've already talked about the Bills.
Work with me on this. Right, so the Bills right now, who is their best receiver? I would probably say Shakir. He's hurt.
Shakir, and maybe they're hoping for a big jump out of Keon Coleman.
Who else is even in that room? They signed Josh Palmer. They have Curtis Samuel, who did nothing last year.
Curtis Samuel's done nothing for a while.
Okay, so that's the Bills' receiver room. So I'd take Patriots the Patriots' receiver room over that. The Jets have the best receiver.
Yep.
Or a better receiver than anyone the Patriots have.
Who's their number two besides Garrett Wilson?
So Garrett Wilson's great. After him, I would say their number two is either Josh Reynolds or Alan Lazard. Yeah, that's so I'm saying.
So if you're doing three versus three, it's close. If you're doing like four versus four, I would probably take the Patriots.
The Patriots might have a better receiving room.
Malachi Corley still there? He was good for them last year.
Was he?
He had a lot of fumbles, but
Wasn't he the guy who dropped the touchdown right before going into the end zone? Yeah. Did he actually have a good year?
I thought he did for what they asked of him.
He was a relatively high pick. A day two pick, I want to say.
Never mind, I completely lied.
What did he do?
Three catches for 16 yards.
Oh, he's Jalen Polk. Jalen Polk outproduced.
He had a good year.
He had a good year, right, last year? I was like, I remember.
It must have been the one that he dropped on the goal line that just benched him for the rest of the year.
That's what happened.
He had enough receiving yards for one first down. Was that the guy that you liked? No, I would say
what did that have been, like third on the Patriots last year?
Wow. Oh, yeah. He would have been right in
between Polk and Baker. Yeah.
No, but Garrett Wilson. So I guess it's how you view it, right? Like, Garrett Wilson is the guy you would for sure want. Clearly, he'd be either the second or third best receiver in the whole division.
Yeah, he might be better than Diggs in his prime. Like, arguably.
Well, I think they hope that he will be based. I don't think he is yet. I don't think he's had any seasons like Steph Diggs with the Bills, his first year with the Bills. But either way, I get your point. But no, Pop Douglas, Kayshon Booty, and Mac Hollins, those three guys, would they all make the Jets? Yeah. Whereas we've had previous years where you looked at the Patriots wide receiver depth chart, you're like, I don't even know how many of those guys make the team somewhere else, let alone play and get featured in the offense.
All right, prime Diggs in Buffalo.
Oh, he was filthy. He led the league in like every category.
Yeah, he had
1,500 yards, maybe?
127 catches for 1,500 yards. He had Wilson hasn't done that.
No.
Wilson did go 101 for 1,100 last year.
Yeah.
And he did it by year three. I mean, Steph Diggs did not have a 1,000-yard season until year four. Now,
I mean, fifth round pick,
way less draft capital, exactly. But I mean, I don't know. Wilson is a really good receiver, would be my point. So even if you were getting prime Diggs,
but Diggs was first team all pro.
Sure. I think that would be close. You're not getting prime Diggs, so give the Jets the best receiver. Patriots receiver room might be the second best in the division.
Yeah, it's crazy.
Which maybe says more about the division than their room, but I've been pleasantly surprised with that. So am I revising the win total up? No.
No, I'm locking mine in. I already did that.
I have them at 9, and if they have a good joint practice against the Vikings, how do the preseason games look when the starters are out there? I could be talked into 10 wins by the end of the preseason.
Hell yeah.
I'm open to revising it upwards. I'm not going to do it after one day, but I do put stock in the joint practices. And I think if you did last year, you would have been wise to do it because they got their asses kicked by the Eagles. And that was very telling. The Eagles were a great team and you were trash. And the joint practice showed that. I think joint practices are worth putting stock in.
Mm-hmm.
Ron is in Boston on Roman Anthony. Go ahead, Ron.
What's going on, Ron?
Hey, how you doing, guys? First and foremost, I just want to say I love you guys' show, man. You guys are awesome.
Thank you.
I love this taking the wind out of my sails, man. I say it to my wife all the time. We crack up about it. But, man.
Shout out your wife.
Anthony, I don't necessarily disagree with the contract, of course, but I mean, talk about terrible timing. I think the guys are just getting it together and, getting comfortable where they're at. And
you think Roman Anthony will get fat and happy? I think that's what he's driving at.
No.
I don't really.
I don't. I mean, I guess there's a risk, but you mentioned a bunch of guys before. You know, Ronald Acuna signed a deal really early, and then a couple years later, he was the MVP of the league. He's had to fight some injuries here and there. Julio Rodriguez has been pretty consistent with the Mariners. He signed a really big contract. No, I don't think so. I think it's just good peace of mind for the team and for him. And like,
I think the timing's a little suspect because they got killed at the trade deadline. Case in point, Craig Breslow getting booed on this radio station.
I look more at that than me too. Like Roman Anthony himself.
It's not so much money where I'm worried about him getting fat and happy.
Well, at some point you were going to have to pay the guy if you wanted to keep him. And then so I guess you could have the same fear then as you do now.
Yeah. I mean, look, at some point that happens with an athlete. Maybe it'll happen with him.
Yeah.
It wouldn't be the first time, but that is not my concern.
And I don't know if he was thinking about like how the team looks at it, but I think the team would all be happy. Like, oh, you're spending money on this guy? Like, great. I would think. Now, maybe there's a little bit of if you're Abreu or Duran
like, might look at it sideways.
A little bit. I guess that's possible. But, I mean, his money will be out there for him somewhere, just maybe not here.
Guys, Craig Breslow, the chief baseball officer of the Boston Red Sox. Hi. Good morning. Good morning, Craig.
Good morning.
Okay, well, let's get
baseball
back into
fans.
Roman Anthony and the Red Sox. Rob Bradford joins us every Thursday at 11:30. We'll talk to Brad Foe, Baseball Isn't Boring, and WEEI right after Trending with Billy Laney.
Pop Douglas on his coach being first in on the skirmish yesterday. And you could talk about that all day long here on Boston Sports Original, WEEI. Coming up, we'll get to the news with Courtney at 7:45, including the dumbest of the day and which animal you should not taunt when making the family trip to Yellowstone this summer. So that is coming up. Red Sox front office report with Sam Kennedy today on the new deal for Roman Anthony and other things, and Hill Notes, as they always are, at 9:20. So if the spirit moves you, you can leave us a voice note on any topic on the Odyssey app at any time. Oh, that reminds me, I owe an Odyssey app appreciation. I was on my old man walk yesterday and was stopped by Robert Reddick, driving a beautiful sky blue Beamer.
Ooh.
In right down Seaport Boulevard. Man stopped all traffic and is an everyday listener of this program on the Odyssey app. So hello and thank you to Robert. And we appreciate all of you, whether you tune in on the Odyssey app or we're on the iHeart app or on Spotify or however you listen, however you consume the content of this show.
I thought you were going to say a Bentley, but that is one Jermaine Wiggins who's driving a Bentley right now.
That I was.
Oh, my Lord.
Shout out my boy John Gotti, Autobody.
Was that a loaner, that Bentley? That is beautiful.
That's what you get when you go over there and you you need a car because yours is getting maintenance. Well,
very nice.
He said it's like driving from your living room couch.
Well, go to Acura Collision in Everett. They'll take care of you.
It's nice.
No ding. My God.
Yeah, where are the dings?
Yeah, come on, Sean.
The dings are
up. See my boy Adam. Tell him to give you the Wiggy special.
Yeah. All right. Weather today and every day brought to you by Window World of Boston. And we can open up the Chris Curtis weather window. What do we got today, Curtis?
Ooh, 64 degrees, cloudy skies in Boston. Afternoon high, beautiful. Low 80s in Boston, abundant sunshine. Looks gorgeous tomorrow, 83. Saturday, Sunday, perfect, 82 and 88. Looks like a gorgeous week for you, Greg, on the island of Nantucket as
Excellent. Any unscheduled fireworks displays that will make Courtney believe we're under attack? Or no,
it's not the Russians, Courtney.
I think there were some other people who were stressed about it as well.
Lindsay was. We were, the two of us were in bed and started to hear the booms.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, normally there's...
Sick brag, bro.
Normally there's other noises in the bedroom area. But,
right. The people beneath you at Echelon had heard the booms prior to that.
I mean...
Isn't it a white noise, though, living in the city? Because don't you hear, like...
No. They were loud.
No, I heard them.
They just call it noise in the seaport.
It was, like, literally a $2 or $3 million fireworks display. It had to be. And it went on forever.
It was really loud.
It seemed like it went on forever.
Yeah. And we have, like...
Lauren Scheim was telling me, sometimes 2 minutes can feel like 30. But it went on literally for a half an hour.
And people think I understand that I can come off moronic in a lot of ways. But people last night were like, you didn't know those were fireworks? No, we have multiple white noise machines going at all times throughout the night. And we had Harry Potter playing.
What's a white noise?
They play lots of weird like machines so they can sleep. Yeah. It's weird. It's the anxiety.
So you sleep to noise.
But the noise bothered you. But the fireworks made her think we were under attack.
Well, I usually don't hear anything when I'm sleeping, and this was. Whew.
All right, let's get to this.
It's time for
Larry Bird's not walking through that door, fans.
They
don't let the Sox win this game.
Said it.
I'm just going to say, they want you to cook the dinner. At least they ought to let you shop for some of the groceries.
They said it. On the Greg Hill Show.
I'm not talking about this.
Everybody got the message?
They Said It is presented by Ketcher's Law, and they are honoring those who built this incredible city, maybe not top four in the U.S., but still our city. And so whether they drive or they construct or they care for others, please nominate them when you go to WeBuiltTheCity.com. That's WeBuiltTheCity.com. What are we talking about first this morning, Sean?
Well, Greg, let's hear from our quarterback. Drake May had a really good day outside of that interception in the final two-minute drill, by all accounts, against the Washington Commanders in inter-squad practices yesterday. And talked about Mike Vrabel jumping in the pile, what it means to the team, and kind of what it looked like when he came out all bloodied. Here was Drake May with the media.
No, I feel like I said, that's what we're trying to build, I think. And it starts with the coach, starts with the head coach, the intensity, bringing it every day, you know, taking no crap, you know, we're out there on the field. But also it comes to a time where with our guys offensively and getting over there and getting some tussles and kind of have some penalties and extra after the whistle can get us in trouble. But for mentality, I like it. I think that's what you want. I mean, I almost got in there, but I think maybe another day, maybe. So we'll see.
Great. Did you happen to see Vrabel bleeding?
Yeah, I saw it. Yeah. Somebody would say it was like the Trump gunshot wound. So I was laughing at that. But no, I think, too, you saw he's breaking down the huddle, and I'm not even sure what happened when it happened. But, you know, he said, don't worry about it. We'll see it on film. So we'll see something.
You're going to break it down?
Yeah,
break
exactly. Down.
I mean, Drake May seems like, according to most who were there, outperformed Jaden Daniels yesterday.
Yeah.
So what is the complaining about? Like, these people who, like, the sky is falling on the New England Patriots. I don't get it.
It's so weird to me. And the anger I saw yesterday across the city of, like, the reacting to it. It's like, I feel like the jig's up on a bunch of people in this market that just don't know how to accept a good story. Like, the Patriots right now have a coach that is better than last year's coach. We all agree.
Yes.
Yeah.
They have a better receiver than they had anywhere on their roster last year. They have a coordinator on offense that is better than the one they had last year. And there's a feeling of genuine optimism, not like the Patriots are winning the Super Bowl optimism, but the fan base feels good about the future of the organization for the first time in a while, and it causes people to get enraged.
It's okay to be excited about how your football team might do.
Right.
Well, you know
the issue, and this is the problem that I have, you know, whether I hear people, I'm watching people talking about the Patriots, it's you can't sit there and beat the drum when practice is bad.
Right.
And then when practice is good, just go, it's, you know, what are we getting all excited about? It's same way with the Red Sox. Like, you can't sit there and beat the drum when they're doing well, and then when they're not. So it's just like, that's why.
I think these people, like, they sometimes, they get backed into a corner because they spend weeks talking about how Will Campbell's arm length is, you know, going to ensure that he's not able to play in the NFL. So then they have to keep that narrative going because they essentially want Will Campbell to fail so that it's a bad pick by
just
the
just be like, I was wrong. Like, I was wrong on Cam Newton. I wanted to give him $30 million for like 5 years.
You were way wrong on Cam Newton.
You know, hey, we all swing and miss.
Way wrong.
You wanted to take Tatum to the airport.
I mean, at one point, yeah.
That's,
I was wrong
that's
about
the part of being in this business. You give your opinion on
Cam Newton for MVP.
But that's where Wiggy is so right. That's the best way I've heard it, that you can't flip out about practice and then yell at people reacting to practice when it's positive.
This is Kurt from Tampa Bay. Hey, Kurt, what's up?
Hey, how's it going? The Mike Vrabel fight, I think it's awesome that he got into a fight. I think it kind of turns up the notch a little bit with practice with the Patriots. But the thing that I think they're missing, they don't have a badass on the team right now. And I was wondering, who do we think is going to be that badass that steps up? that jumps into fights and gets a bloody face like their coach.
I think Will Campbell yesterday, according to everybody that was there, it was his reputation when he was at LSU that he was a guy that would do anything to protect or help out a teammate, and he was in the middle of that on the bottom.
So nasty.
He's nasty. I think that was as the Yankee fans used to say, yesterday was the day Will Campbell became a Patriot.
In the Twitch chat, someone says, Greg, also wrong about Mac Jones.
Yeah, yes, I may have been. Time will
still
tell.
Still on that island.
He's still on that island. There's
he's
a
just
little
hoping and praying that Brock Purdy gets hurt this year.
There's a little piece of that island left that he is holding on to.
You were loyal, though. I mean, you did not.
I mean, that first season was extraordinary.
It was. It was a good one. It's like, Greg, do you want us to save you from this island? Nope.
It's like, nope.
Are you sure?
I know.
There's a little piece left. He would never know. He's with Shanahan now, and everybody who ends up with Shanahan turns out pretty good.
Yeah, I'm not going to give Greg advice. He's far too successful for that, but the next time you agree with one person and it's Gresh, maybe reevaluate.
What is next, Shine?
Well, Greg, also out of Patriots camp yesterday, Mike Vrabel, before he got the bloodied up face, spoke to the media and kind of shed light on his plans for preseason game number one tomorrow night against the Washington Commanders.
Again, focused on today, and they'll get a lot of reps. So today, different situations, and again, I would say most everybody that's healthy should expect to play in the game. How long they'll play, I don't know, but we have to prepare to play in football games and, you know, prepare to win football games. So that's the mentality that we're going to take.
Sounds like we're getting Drake May tomorrow night, baby.
Yeah.
Couple series.
Yeah, which is great. And, of course, it is statue night tomorrow, and you can stream that at 6. Or you can be there and watch it. I just have to mention Sensei, the official courtroom artist of this show, who
outdone himself.
Had no idea he was doing this. He created the actual statue of yours truly. It appears that he used clay. It's on my Instagram. It's on his Instagram. I don't know. The man is like, are you not jealous of art, of true artistic talent?
Yeah, it's like, unbelievable. It looks.
I have no talent, and so
how much clay did he need?
And he did the flip flops. Like, he just thinks of every detail.
Can we see it?
It's on his Instagram. I'll send it to Mitch.
Mitch can probably grab it off of my Instagram. Mm. By the way, my Instagram, Greg Hill WEEI. Give me a follow.
Holy hell!
What, right? I mean, a little like thick through the middle. Like, I don't appreciate that part.
The boobies look good.
Right.
They're man, boobin'. There's man boobs, which I mean, but it's got the microphone in there.
Marconi.
Yeah.
That's so impressive.
There's gonna be a baby boom.
Did he actually do? Is that clay? Am I right?
Yeah. So it looks like.
It's like Patrick Swayze in Ghost or something. Huh. It's unbelievable.
Big, you know, gave you a nice, sturdy jawline.
Right, yes. Which I don't have.
Right, yeah.
I've let the jaw area go a little bit. Yeah,
but that's a sturdy one.
Twitch chat says it's jaw forward.
Right. Where do you think Lynn's would let you put that in the apartment?
She doesn't let me put anything in there. Like, she doesn't let me keep any of my stuff.
Yeah. Nightstand?
Like, half of my. I could put that on my nightstand.
Yeah.
The moves, though, we got to.
Those are.
What,
you gotta
like
do
those?
Something about the moobs.
Right.
Yeah. The chin is solid, dog. I'll give you the chin and the head. Solid.
They're not so much moobs. Maybe they're just, you know.
They're moobs, Courtney. Stop.
My nipples are always erect.
Right.
They're A-cups.
Wiggy Joey Tomatoes in the Twitch chat says it's like when Kramer designed Fusilli Jerry.
Yes, Fusilli Jerry. Just don't sit on it.
That's fantastic. Yeah.
Really good.
Good, though.
Yeah, I need that. All right, what's next, Shine?
Well, Greg, there is an ongoing saga that continues down in Dallas between Jerry Jones and Micah Parsons. Jerry Jones has spoken to the media more times in the last 2 weeks than Robert Kraft has in the last 5 years, which I find hilarious. Here was Jerry Jones talking about the hang-up and the issues and what's going on with this Micah Parsons thing.
It's my understanding nothing was put in writing. So how would you describe a deal getting, so to speak, done and then walked away from?
I bought the Dallas Cowboys with a handshake. Took about 30 seconds,
and I gave the number, shook hands. The details we worked out later. As a matter of fact, one of the details involved a lot of money, and we had to flip a coin over that. But the fundamental, I'm buying, and you're going to sell it to me for that range, that's done. And those are done with eye contact and handshake.
So was there...
So just so you understand why I, the way that I communicate with people that I negotiate with. So, but let's leave it at that. There is no question that in the case of a player contract, you have to have it in writing. All parties do. We have a contract in writing. Yet we're still talking about renegotiating it. So much for that.
Meanwhile, and Curtis pointed out in his lead this morning at about 6:45 that these guys have gobs and gobs of money. They're doing deals with ESPN and elsewhere. So
I have a question for Wiggy, since he was actually a player in the league. Is it legal for owners to meet with players like that without the agent present and discuss like the contract and hammer that out? Is that... Because like I feel like I've heard mixed signals on that.
I think there are plenty of guys that some guys don't even have agents, right?
Right.
I think who the hell that it was in the NFL that didn't have
any. I know Lamar's mom is his agent.
Right, but there was some guys that don't.
Jackson represents himself.
Yeah, sure. So there are guys that don't have it. If you want to be able to communicate with the organization, you should be able to do that. I just don't know what Jerry Jones is doing, okay? The blueprint was laid out. Myles Garrett got 4 years, $160 million with $120 million guaranteed. He's 29. Micah Parsons is what, 24, 25, somewhere in that range? So you say, here's what we're going to do, Micah. We're going to give you 4 years, $175 million. We'll give you 100.
He's 26.
So you don't think guys have to honor a contract?
What do you mean? Teams don't honor a contract, so why would a guy have to honor a contract?
All right? I just wanted to...
If you're outperforming your contract, you should say, I need a strike while the iron is hot, because there's, you know, no guarantee that I don't get hurt.
Every player will honor a contract that is fully guaranteed.
Bingo.
Then that's an equal party on both sides. You
right.
each have the same investment in the deal.
Right.
And I guarantee you, when Jerry Jones sits down with Pepsi Cola to do the deal for the year, they don't allow it to be a handshake. He gets it in writing. So to make that comment like it's how he bought the team is so disingenuous.
He's
like,
also on the club option of his rookie deal that he doesn't really get to negotiate. Like,
right.
It's a rookie deal that's kind of – there's framework for every single draft pick every single year. And so the number was the number. He never even got to negotiate it.
And if Micah Parsons, God forbid – plays on that rookie deal, and I think it's the fifth-year option. It's like 20
million. That's correct. It's the club option for $24
million. $24 million. If he gets hurt, that potential of 130 or the Myles Garrett guarantee, 100, let's call it $123 million, that is out the window, potentially. So if you're these guys and you're – like Roman Anthony's getting 130 no matter what.
Yeah.
And so that's the difference. So if you're Jerry Jones and you're Micah Parsons, I'm going, listen, I'm younger than Myles Garrett. My numbers are just as good. I want 4 years. I got to set the market. I want 175. Give me $135 million fully guaranteed. I'll sign on a dotted line, and let's go hunt quarterbacks.
Subaru of New England text line. Find your authorized Subaru retailer at SubaruofNewEngland.com. 617 texter says Matthew Slater didn't have an agent. Is that accurate?
Yeah, I think Matthew didn't have an agent.
And just there's people in the Twitch chat and elsewhere saying that why sign a contract if you don't live up to it? The Cowboys cut players all the time that are under contract.
Yeah, it happens all the time.
Also, as a rookie, again, you don't get to negotiate the contract.
Right. Why do people side with Jerry Jones over guys that are trying to make a career for themselves?
And if they, if those same people feel that way, let's say Chisholm, for example. Oh, no, let's use Polk. No, because he was a first round, the Jalen Polk, right?
Jalen Polk was second round.
Or he's a second round.
37th overall.
All right, so he signs a contract, and it's probably somewhere, I don't know, 17, 18 million or whatever the hell it is. If he gets cut, he don't get his whole contract.
Right.
He gets only guaranteed. So that's the way you have to look at it. It just, you'll never get guaranteed contracts in the NFL because the owners don't want, like they don't want to guarantee Chisholm his money because if he gets hurt, if he gets cut, so.
Okay. Speaking of Dallas, How about Joe Milton throwing the longest pass in NFL history yesterday?
Milton mania all the way back.
Yeah. What, in a practice? Or was that in
a preseason game? It was in a scrimmage, but it counts. I mean, cool. 75 yards.
Well, I would say that's a bad...
It is cool, Sean.
I mean...
75-yard pass, I would say that's a bad... What are you doing, quarterback?
Bring back the longest pass competition or whatever that was.
Because that means you're holding on to the ball too long. Get the ball out earlier.
I hate to say this. Ken may be onto something.
What?
He has been
a guy that's never going to start NFL game again.
Shime's anger towards us just makes me want Ken to be right. But he has been over the fact.
It's because Shime's guy had him shipped right up out of here. That's why Shime.
I was right about Mac Jones.
Why Shime is touchy about it?
It is. It's not. It's the only thing Vrabel's done in his new role that has been anti-Vrabel, which is to make the job easier for the quarterback when it was his lifeblood to make Brady miserable when he was with the Patriots.
But it's not even a make him miserable, Curtis. He wanted to clear the locker room of unwanted attitudes. Yeah.
Right, but that's not, if you're the best quarterback, nothing's a distraction.
No, but that's a distraction.
That's not the point. He wanted to remove entitlement. He doesn't care about Drake May. Mm-hmm. Joe Milton felt like he deserved to start. Mike Vrabel was like, no, you don't, and he didn't want that.
Right. The Patriots used to love players that wanted to start at every position.
You want a guy to stop, but you don't want the distraction, because what ends up happening is then if Joe Milton does have a good camp, then there's a group of guys who get together are friends with Joe Milton because guess what? Joe Milton's feeding him the ball, and they should be like, Joe, you should be starting.
You should be the guy.
All of a sudden,
Jalen Polk's like, Joe Milton's the best quarterback in the league.
Right. Or Jamar Chase says that he really likes other quarterbacks.
The news is next, including the dumbest of the day and why one should not taunt, or there is one particular animal that one should not taunt during the family vacation to Yellowstone. That was Mike Vrabel yesterday, asked about the plan for tomorrow's preseason game. Keith and I gave you what to watch for in just 60 seconds for the preseason opener tomorrow night. If you missed any of that, Odyssey app, use the rewind feature. You can go back and listen to our On the Clock segment, AUDACY. Get it on your phone. Free, easy. Take it with you wherever you go. Do you think May plays tomorrow? Let's start with that.
Yes,
I do. How much?
One series.
That's it.
Yeah. That's my guess. You know, it's tough. I heard Wiggy talking about this. Even though they've gone to 3 preseason games for a number of years now, it's still hard to like wrap your mind around how certain teams treat them. You know, it used to be like, all right, that 3rd preseason game you play the most. The 4th one you probably don't play at all. 1st one maybe get like a taste and whatever. But you have 4 games to figure out.
I would say it's like a rough shorthand. In the old 4-game format, it was typically quarterback plays a quarter, or starters play a quarter, starters play a half. Maybe they play into the third
first
quarter.
Series of the second half, maybe, and then not at all.
Fourth game, they don't play at all.
Yeah, so this one, I don't know. I mean, joint practices, I think, went well, but it's a new offensive coordinator and a new offense for Drake May, a lot of new teammates. So if you put all that together, that feels like a guy that you at least want to get some reps. Now, if it's a 3-and-out punt and you're like, you take him out, that's kind of a letdown. But I bet he does play. That'd be my guess. Plays a little bit. I think Morgan Moses is kind of an interesting one, because you don't want to put your starting quarterback out there with like a second or third rate offensive line. You know, like,
so those are the guys who I'm like, all right, if Diggs and Moses and Davis don't play, fine. They're already being managed. They should play.
Yeah, you should.
Even if it's just a series, I'd probably lean more towards 2. Like, I think the joint practices are more important than a preseason game, because you can control it. You know everybody's out there. I have no idea what Dan Quinn and Washington are going to do tomorrow. But I think you can't just give Drake May 0 preseason reps and expect him to be ready to go week 1.
Yeah, I agree. I'd like to see him.
You can't do that. He needs some preseason. So a series or 2 tomorrow night, a quarter plus, maybe even a half in game 2. He doesn't need to play in the 3rd preseason game, but he needs some reps in the preseason. As a guy who's started half a season and won 1 real game in the NFL, he needs reps. I'm not telling you he needs a million reps and he needs to play the whole night tomorrow, but he needs a series or 2, and then he needs more than that in the game against the Vikings in the second week of the preseason.
Because you only have at most 3 chances prior to the opener against Vegas where you get to run through the whole thing. You have Josh McDaniels in your headset, calling plays, all that kind of thing, and reenacting that. So as good as joint practices are, and they are, and we were even saying yesterday, like joint practices you can get a lot out of, because you can really manage that, and you can get the reps that you want to get. But there is something about just getting out there for a game series, and I think that's probably all it'll be. And also, like,
Because if you don't play Moses and Diggs, too, it's like, all right, you don't. And if the right tackle is a little leaky, let's say, you don't want May out there for too many of those reps either.
It's fair.
But, I mean, if it's Campbell, Wilson, Onwenu, and Bradbury, is that a bee in here?
I don't know.
We're just talking about bees?
That's something. It's not a moth. I don't know what it is. It just landed on the light behind you. What is that?
No, but I think you should go. I mean, and also, oh, that's like a flying ant.
Okay, great.
He's got
it's not a bee.
No.
It's not. We'll have the Ant-Man and the Wasp.
It's not
we
a.
Could.
It's not a radioactive wasp. But
he
very
went
confident
right to that,
that
light.
Yeah, he did.
He likes that.
Yeah.
Yeah, because I think guys that aren't gonna play would be Gonzalez, probably Davis, probably Moses, probably Diggs.
Yeah, I doubt. Based on the way they managed him yesterday, I doubt Diggs plays.
Just the way you see these guys sort of in and out. Everybody else though is out there for most of the stuff.
So I will say this: we just got a text. Was Shimes lead about Joe Milton today? I heard him defending his
stance. Well, because there are a lot of highlights coming out of Cowboys camp.
Oh, is that where that came from?
Yeah, I think so. Maybe he brought it up because of that, but I've seen on Twitter a lot of, you know, Milton making these ridiculous throws. I mean, it's camp. You don't know what all the defensive players are and everything else, but I guess Milton looks pretty good.
Here's all I was going to say. For tomorrow night, we should all be able to agree on this. No Joe Milton makes the preseason way less interesting. Like last year, I was tuned in for almost the entire preseason game. I didn't really want to watch Jacoby Brissett, but I was curious how it looked when the starters were out there. Then May would come in, and that's when it really mattered. You really wanted to see how Drake Bay looked in the preseason. And then Milton would finish out the game, and you're like, I'm kind of interested in him, too.
Check this guy out.
It was like a pretty good watch and a pretty entertaining product on some level. Like, I had an interest throughout the entire game is what I mean. Tomorrow night, I'm going to be interested for a series or two. I don't really care about Dobbs. Maybe I'll watch some of that. And by the time they get to Dice's guy, Wooly.
Yeah, Wooly.
Mammoth. So something we should all agree with. Yeah, when the Wooly Mammoth gets in there, I'm out. Yeah. Something we should all agree with, whether you wanted Joe Milton, whether you didn't want Joe Milton, whether you believe in him, whether you don't, whether you think they should have gotten more in the trade, et cetera. Something we can all agree on, I think, is he would have made tomorrow night a little more interesting because after May gets out of the game, it's kind of a tune out.
No, it's real bad.
If he even plays.
Because couldn't you see a scenario where Dobbs like finishes the first quarter, maybe a little bit of the second quarter, and it's like over a half of Ben Woolridge, who doesn't even get that many reps in practice.
No.
Like when they like yesterday, for example.
Which tells me he's going to play a crap ton in the game.
Yeah. But then it's like, ugh. Like it might be Sam Hartman versus Ben Woolridge for a long part of the game. And then it's sort of like, all right, how do some of these receivers stand out? Like, how does Javon Baker or Jalen Polk, who's desperately trying to make the team, how do they even do that with Wooly?
Yeah, I'll catch the highlights of those guys the next day. I'm probably not sticking around for that.
But in Dallas, Joe Milton will probably get a lot of run in those games, and that will be fun to watch. Now, I don't think he's going to be this great NFL quarterback or anything like that.
I mean, neither. My only stance on Milton, I get painted as like a big Joe Milton guy. My only stance on him ever is if I wasn't going to get a good return, then I wasn't going to move him. That's all.
Yeah.
I don't think he's better than Drake May. I also don't think he's the problem some people are building him up to be, although he did have that questionable comment once he got to Dallas about Dax taking him under his wing, and we know how that goes in the other building
right
where I was. But no,
Saturday, the Cowboys.
I just wanted an actual return for him, not another late-round pick. That was my only stance on that. Is this a typo?
Maybe.
The text line says, you have a flant in the studio?
Flying ant.
But yeah, but is that shorthand for a flying ant, a flant?
People who know bugs.
It says run for your lives. Okay.
Well, maybe hopefully it's not. Oh, he left.
I don't know where. Yeah, we've lost sight of him. Actually, I don't know where he went. Do you ingest him by accident?
I haven't eaten him. Hopefully, he's not radioactive.
Circling back to the Patriots though, tomorrow it was definite arrow up on the offense.
Oh yeah,
I think 4A day, and it's all it was. It was just a joint practice. Jaden Daniels on one field, Drake May on another. But for a day, Drake May outperformed Jaden Daniels yesterday.
Yeah.
And I want to see that carry over, however much they're both on the field, if they're even both on the field tomorrow night. I want to see that carry over to tomorrow night because it is arrow up for the offense.
No, it definitely is. I think in the case of Jaden Daniels, he didn't really try to do a whole lot, didn't look bad. It was just a lot of short passes. So the completion percentage was high, but didn't really do a whole lot with it. And then the final drill where they had 25 yards to go in 45 seconds. They didn't score. You know, they fourth down, incomplete pass into the end zone. So, like, the defense did a pretty good job on Jaden Daniels. Drake May had a fantastic day up until the interception.
Yep.
So, if you want to grade, you can't ignore that. I did throw a pick in that same drill that we're talking about with Jaden Daniels. But prior to that, he only had, I think it was one incomplete pass that wasn't a drop. So only like one either bad throw or throw away or whatever. Like, so he was good and like was spreading it out to all different receivers. And yeah, I was impressed because the last couple of times he had a chance to go up against the defense as live as they're going to let them go, it wasn't great. The scrimmage on Friday in the stadium against themselves, and then the Monday practice, you're like, ugh, they didn't really do much.
They couldn't,
like 3 of 10 in the red zone.
They couldn't do anything. Now, in fairness, when Jaden Daniels got out there yesterday and they were in the same hurry-up session at the end, ball at the 25, 45 seconds, running clock, I think they each had a timeout. That's where May threw the pick, deflected ball off Bobby Wagner to Sanders still. But Jaden Daniels couldn't get in the end zone against that defense either. So maybe the Patriots defense, even without Gonzalez and Carlton Davis, will be a little better than we thought. Maybe. I'll allow for that. Yeah. That's something I'd like to see tomorrow too.
Has a chance to be real good, though, with those guys.
Yeah, exactly. You know? Yeah. But, like, DJ James has made plays all camp.
Double A.
Double A on the other side. Alex Austin making plays.
Sure does.
And so, yeah, I think there's I thought it was a bad sign that Drake May and the offense on Monday couldn't do anything against that defense without Gonzo and Carlton Davis out there. Maybe they're making more plays. Yeah. They look pretty good, I think,
yesterday
against Jaden Daniels. So those are all things to look for on Friday night in the preseason opener. Brian's in the car on the Joe Milton discussion. Go ahead, Brian.
Yeah, so what I don't understand is Joe Milton, he looked really good in preseason last year, just making throws and all that. But what happened is that last game of the season, he did exactly what everybody wanted him to do. So why for a $1 million this year wouldn't you have him as a backup?
Okay, I think the answer would be he was a problem in the locker room, or my spin on that would be Drake May didn't want him around because Drake May thought he was a threat. But yeah, I think something like that. It wasn't about his play. It wasn't about his salary. It was about either May was threatened or he was a distraction or something to do with that relationship. Yeah. As Reese put it, they cleared the decks for Drake May to be the quarterback. To clear the decks, you had to get him out of there.
Yeah, because something clearly happened, and you know, maybe did his personality change or just became more at the center of attention? Because you remember the famous quote that we played a million times after the game against the Bills was Robert Kraft saying, maybe we have two quarterbacks, which, you know, Vrabel and McDaniels weren't there at the time, but I'm guessing Drake May, Josh McDaniels, and Mike Vrabel are like, No, we don't. We have
Joe Milton was like,
Yeah, we do. Who's with me? And they're like, no, you don't want to do that. Because I'm with you. Like I would say you want as much competition as you possibly can. You want the best players that you could possibly have. But listening to Wiggy this morning, the one guy that's been in the NFL locker room, he was saying, not really at that position. Like, you want like the clear cut guy. You obviously want the other players to prepare for when it's their turn, right? Like, at some point, Josh Dobbs might have to get thrown into a game. He better be prepared to do that. But he's not showing up each day being like, I'm going to win this job. And then, like, looking over at his teammates being like, I'll get you the ball. I'm like Drake May. Like, you don't want your offense to get torn into two teams.
Correct. That's exactly it. We saw that with May and
Mac Jones and Zappe.
Thank you, Mac and Zappe.
As bad as those two were, you did have that.
No, but that's an example of why you don't want competition, because if it is a competition, you probably don't have anybody.
Right, at that position, right? Like, if competition at running back, competition at wide receiver, competition at tackle.
And
like,
I think
that's good.
I think ideally, and this is what Bill did try to do, and I disagree with Wiggy slightly on this. Wiggy's like, well, they never brought in competition for Brady until Garoppolo at the end. Well, no. They tried to do it way earlier than
that. They did a couple two third round picks, a fourth round pick.
They were constantly drafting quarterbacks to come in and quote unquote compete with Brady. And so
the difference would be they weren't in the same draft class.
Well, exactly.
As him.
If Drake May's a little more established, you know, Drake May's 4 or 5 years under his belt, I don't think it's bad business to use a third round pick on a quarterback to try to come in and maybe compete and light a fire under Drake May and keep pushing him. But two guys in the same class, where you could be drawing lines within a locker room. Like, I agree that's not ideal, but I think Drake May was conscious of it too. I don't exempt Drake May from that. I'm sure May, and you make a great point about the Kraft comment, I think May was probably a little threatened by it, so they got him out of there.
Yeah. Yeah, and you know, I don't know, because there were some of those reports too about like his maturity level and everything else, and I was like, I don't know. I just, kind of a red flag when we didn't hear about any of that until right at the end. And you're like, all right, now we're trying to blame Joe Milton for something. Like,
The same people who are like, Joe Milton was a problem when there was zero reporting about that are the same people who are like, oh, the Red Sox are just smear campaigning people on the way out the door. They smear campaign Joe Milton, I think.
It was insane, though, that you let a coach that you were about to fire coach the final game and try to win, and you played Joe Milton, and you let him just play his ass off against fourth stringers on the other side, and you let him win the game, and then you get rid of both guys, and it costs you Abdul Carter. Like, that part is still, like, that'll never sit well with me.
No, that was, that's not how you manage the final week of the year. That's not
that was a tough go.
I think that's fair to say. Tim is in Brockton. Hello, Tim.
Hey, so side note, the whole Jaden Daniel versus Drake May headline, like, he outperformed. Cool, but the, you know, the practice squads and stuff really don't matter. He played them in the playoffs. And second thing,
oh,
I
hang
really
on, Tim, it wasn't
out.
Against a practice squad. It was against Marshawn Lattimore and Bobby Wagner.
No, yeah, they were all out there. Hold on, but hypothetically speaking, if Jerod Mayo stays here next year, do you think Joe Milton's gone? Why was Drake May so comfortable going to Vrabel instead of asking Mayo before? Why now?
Okay.
Well, so we don't even know if that happened. Drake May go to Mike Vrabel and say, get rid of him? Whereas, did Tom Brady go to Robert Kraft and say, get rid of Garoppolo? That, I feel like, has almost been confirmed. This other thing, we don't know. It's speculation.
Yeah, my guess is they wouldn't trade a young, cost-controlled quarterback who showed something in the NFL unless the starter said, didn't feel comfortable with
it. Well, he's really not that young.
Okay, but
you're a college guy. Okay, but in college,
but you know what I mean. Yeah. But you know what I mean. I mean, he's probably Jaden Daniels' age. Is Jaden Daniels young?
But I also think it could be as much a McDaniels Vrabel input as well. And Drake May agrees with it, but I don't know if he was like the center of it. I could see those other guys being like, "We don't need to deal with it. Like, this is this guy's team. It's not going to be up for debate." And then we move on from it. And you can argue whether it's the right or the wrong decision, but it was from one of those guys. And also, like, I don't think we need to clarify this. Jaden Daniels to me, greater than Drake May.
Yeah.
Yesterday, for what they had them do, Drake May was better.
Yeah.
But that was just yesterday.
And also, I don't rule out that May long-term could be better than Daniels. I don't know that I bet on that today, but like I don't rule that out at all. Daniels had a better rookie year. That doesn't necessarily mean he's going to have the better career. So, you know, I'm not writing off Drake May for beating out Jaden Daniels. But right now, who do you take first? You take Daniels over May. Duh.
Yeah.
But yesterday, May outplayed him. I think all of those things can be true.
Yep.
Here we go.
Also, Joe Milton, 8 months older than Jaden Daniels. He's already 25.
Okay. I'm just saying, is Jaden Daniels
also old guy. Yeah.
Jaden Daniels is not young.
A lot of doctors coming into the league. These guys are in college forever.
All I'm saying, if you're going to say Joe Milton's old, then you got to call Daniels old. That's all I'm saying.
I did call Daniels old. So
okay. Well, then they're fair. You're consistent.
Bo Nix is like, yeah, see?
He might be the youngest one of the group.
He might be.
Text here, guys, if Milton was so good, why was he a sixth rounder? You want to handle that one, Keith?
Well, you don't think he's that good.
Okay, but I'm just saying. Guys,
Tom Brady was a sixth round
pick.
Thank
you. Guys, if you want to use that logic, we can apply that to Brady.
No, we talk ourselves into submission with this, but Joe Milton might not be that good. Is he better than Ben Woolridge? Is he better than Josh Dobbs, maybe? I mean, maybe that's more of the debate. And if also, so, like, could he be on this team?
You also didn't have to trade him for, again, was it a fifth rounder? Was it a sixth rounder? I don't remember.
I forget. Was it a pick nothing. Swap? It wasn't much.
I think it was a pick swap. And so that would be my, if somebody gave you a third rounder for him, I would have traded him in a heartbeat. I wasn't saying don't trade him. I was just saying don't give him away. They gave him away. Here you go. This is a good one, too. Are you fools at EEI who think Milton should have been gone?
Whoa.
Will you be regretting your words when he becomes a better quarterback than Drake May? Yeah, I would regret that.
If he's
a better quarterback than Drake May, yes, I would regret all of that.
Shame on us.
Yeah, big time.
Shame on us for sure.
We are the fools of EEI, if that's the case.
If he doesn't, will you have shame for sending in that text?
No, something tells me.
Probably not.
Something tells me.
Move on.
Just move on to the next topic. All right. 617-779-7937. That's your phone number to get in touch with WEEI Afternoons. They come your way at 2 o'clock. You got Hart. You got Fitzy. You got Ted. We'll get you the clip du jour. And right after trending with Billy Lanny, it's time for Grab Bag.